Welcome to another episode of Bikini and the Brain. This episode today is upon request by someone who thought it would be a good idea for us to do a Q&A of questions that we're getting asked all the time. So we appreciate this suggestion, and we are so excited to do this podcast today because we got some really good questions. So we're going to try to answer these pretty quickly so we can get through all of them. I told Adam, I'm going to point at you if you're talking too long, because he can get really, he's too smart, so he has a lot to say.
Too talky. It's like, yeah, there's a good amount of questions I think will help a lot of people. I think a lot of these questions are some that people are thinking about.
Yeah.
There's like, I think we have like, you said 50?
Here, 26. I picked the top 26. Yeah,
okay.
But I know there's more out there, but these are the top 26 that I thought were appropriate for the podcast and would work really well, so... Yeah.
All right. So let's just go ahead and get started. So the first question from Aishad. I'm trying to say these names right, because a lot of them are Instagram names. They're like not real names. All right. So I'm curious, what are some of the exercises, techniques, or approaches to achieving the right conditioning look? Also interested in a conversation about achieving the tiny waistline. I know Adam uses waist trainers and would love to learn more about it. So Ashley, you want to handle it?
Well, I think honestly... They want to know what you want to
know. All right, cool.
Because they put your name here, so let's see what you have to say.
So let's see. So as far as like some of the exercises, techniques, or approaches to achieving the right conditioning look, there's not really like exercises that are specific to getting the right conditioning. That's, you know, for the most part, when you're in your off season and you're in season, the exercises are going to be very similar in terms of like what you're doing for the workout. The only thing different we'll do like towards the end is, when you start seeing someone without their body fat, and you can really start seeing what they need to work on and what's popping and what's not, you might give some extra attention to the areas that are lagging. But that's really it in terms of like the differences of working out. But it stays very similar all year, and that's all the way from the top level all the way down. Like your exercises stay very similar. Now, as far as the waistline goes, I do think waist trainers work really well if you wear them the right way and you're not doing it like excessively and losing your natural shape. I think that waist training is awesome, and it can get a girl who maybe didn't have the best genetics to have a waistline like towards the end of a prep, like maybe 1.5 inches, 2 inches smaller. That's what I've been able to kind of record with people doing it. So I think, hey, if it's you're doing it to a point where it's not like crazy, you're not hurting yourself by wearing it for all day, every day and going extreme with it, and you're just doing it during prep and you're just getting that extra 1.5 inches, 2 inches off, like why not? And so I wear a waist trainer. We wear neoprene belts when we do cardio. We wear an exercise belt when we're lifting. And then we have a certain way of eating food to get the inflammation down and make the waistline as small as possible. And that is in itself is one of the biggest helpers. I think in the end, the last like week, you lose like an inch probably just on that,
yeah.
Just on that part of it. So anyway, so there you go. Let's go to the next question.
Okay, so how to reverse your cardio after a show, thoughts on the new wellness division, and how prep might differ from bikini and figure. Okay, so I'm just going to speak from personal experience about cardio after a show. I'm not one of those girls that do cardio literally the next day, unless like I have a show the next week, then that might be the case. But I kind of take a little miniature break after a season, like a week, and then I'll start getting into it slowly. So I'll start with like maybe 2 days of cardio and go from there. Thoughts on the new wellness division? I think that is an awesome idea. It's great because a lot of girls have that body type where they are thicker at the bottom and a little bit smaller at the top. I've actually gotten asked a lot if I'm doing the wellness division or I would consider it. I think right now I'm kind of small to do that. They seem to be bigger gals. Probably if they were 5'5", I would say some of them are like 140 or something, yeah?
Yeah, they're muscular.
They're pretty muscular. So, you know, that's kind of off the table for me right now. And how prep might differ from bikini and figure? You want to answer that one quickly?
Yeah, really, the only difference is going to be like the approach of the exercises, of course. So when you have bikini, you're talking about, so both bikini and figure now, you're talking about proper balance between them. Bikini wasn't all about balance a couple years back. It was more about having a little bit of extremes, but not to the point where it looked extreme, but like glutes and hamstrings were overdeveloped compared to the quads. But now it's becoming more balanced. Figure has always been about balance. But the way you're going to defer like your workout between the two is you're going to spend more time on your glutes, more time on your hamstrings in bikini, not as much time on your back, of course, because you're not going to get as wide. So figure is more of a bodybuilder. Yeah, bikini figure is more of like a, you're going to take like the typical bodybuilding route in terms of your workouts with your normal splits like that, and then with bikini you're going to take very much a bikini split, so a different type of workout, no chest, right, things like that. So there's actually that between bikini and all the other divisions, is bikini is the only one that has a completely different workout. So yeah,
you know what, I just realized there is way more than 26 questions on here, because even though I took from 26 people, there's like people ask like 3 questions.
Yeah.
We might have to limit to, if we see like 3 yeah, questions to 1. Just so we want to make sure we answer your guys' questions, because I know you appreciate listening to our answers, and we just want to, you know, accommodate to you guys. So, wow. Okay. So the next question is for you, Adam. How to help a competitor deal with body dysmorphia post-show? I am 8 weeks post-show and only up 8 to 9 pounds.
Yeah, so this is a great question. This is from Rachel. And this is a hard one. This is a hard question to answer, because if you got... Here's the thing that people, I think, we need to think about. When we get on stage, and let's say you get fourth place, fifth place, whatever. Like, you get on stage, like, you beat yourself up. You're like, oh, I'm fifth place. But, like, you have to look at that in context. Like, you got fifth place out of the best physiques in your state, you know? And those are not, it's not everyone in the state. It's just the best physique showed up that day and you got fifth place, right? So people are like, oh, I should be better. I should do this. I have this lagging body part, this, my glutes need to be better, whatever. Well, you need to understand that you're still like in the 1% of the best physiques, like in the entire world, to even be able to step on stage.
A lot of people are admiring you, and like, it's like, you know, so many people wish they could even have like half what you have, you know what I mean?
Like, you want to get better and you want to be Miss Olympia, but people just want to get to where you're at. That's like their end goal. They would be like their dream body. So you just have to look at things and like put it in perspective and be like, hey, you know what, I'm actually pretty damn good. I'm only up 8 pounds from the show. This is what her question says. She only up 8 pounds from the show, which is what I recommend. About 6 to 8% of your stage weight.
And coming from a personal perspective too, it can be hard.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I let myself go, even though in reality you're just letting yourself rest a little bit and letting your body recover.
Yeah, that's a normal amount. Like, that's what we should be shooting for, about 10 pounds or so, just because that's an easier prep if you're doing about 10 pound weight loss. So I, you know, that's a hard question in terms of like a coach, because that's more of like a psychologist, I think, question. But I just tell people, you know what, like, even if you didn't do great, you're still in the 1% of the people who can do this. So just take that in perspective, I guess, is what I'd say. All right. So next question from Summer. How do you plan your workouts? Meaning, what is your body part split routine? How often do you train legs per week? Do you separate legs into more glute driven days and more quad driven days? I know everybody is different, but you're so phenomenal. You're such a, what? But you are in such phenomenal shape. I'd love to hear what you do. So this is for Ashley.
Okay, yeah. So this is a great question, and there's a lot in this question. So I'll try to just kind of summarize here. First and foremost, my workout splits will change depending how close I am to a show. It tends to be that the closer I get to a show, the more cardio I do and the less weights I do. When I do weights, it's more like 4 reps, and less like heavy, small amount of reps. So it's like more reps with lighter weight, basically. I will give you basically what it would be typically like. Let's say if I'm a month out from a show, or 2 months, it would be Monday shoulders, Tuesday cardio, Wednesday cardio and arms. Thursday would probably be legs. Friday would be like cardio, and Saturday would be glutes and legs. You know, basically I do a lot of glutes and shoulders and cardio, and that's for me personally, but everyone is different and everyone has things they need to work on. And you guys might be very surprised to know that there are body parts, as you can tell, that I avoid training, and other bikini competitors are the same way. We just kind of avoid body parts altogether, depending on where we're at.
Yeah. Okay. So then that's a good one. So next question, how do you cycle your carbs during the last weeks before the competition? And I can jump on this one. Now here's the thing about the last week of competition that people really overcomplicate this last week thing, the last day thing. I love this question, cause I could answer, there's a couple things that help people out, give you some sanity. People do too much during peak week. Okay, so peak week is kind of one of those things where you're either in shape or you're not going into peak week. and you just make some, you just fine tune it. You know, ideally in peak week, you're already in shape and all you're doing is kind of like refueling the body, letting it kind of carb up a little bit, and reducing your workouts, reducing your total cardio, kind of just letting your body kind of look fresh on stage. That's what you should be doing during peak week. Now, there are the occasions where someone still needs to lean out and we're going to really crush peak week. But that's done like, you know, you'll basically keep your carbs low Monday through Wednesday, reload heavy on Thursday and a little lighter on Friday. And then Saturday is show day. So this is where people, I think, really lose it on Saturday. Mm-hmm. They really stress out about how they're looking on Saturday. They want to, like, they're like, how many carbs do I need? How many carbs do I need, honey? This and that. Like, just so you guys know, when you're backstage, like, there is very little chance that you're going to be absorbing all those carbs that you're eating in the morning mm-hmm. by the time you're on stage. So you're either, what you look like on Saturday is pretty much it. You're not going to, like, take a bunch of honey backstage and honey and rice cakes and then go on stage 30 minutes later and that be digested and in your muscles. Yeah. It doesn't work that way. Okay, so all the people who are like freaking out backstage and like, oh, I need this, I need more almond butter, I need more honey. Like, if you're already oiled up and tanned, like that's not going, it's not going into your muscles. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're like, well, it'll make me more vascular. Well, you don't get judged on vascularity, so it doesn't matter. But so just so you guys, I just say that because people freak out the day of the show and they'll wake up like at 8 and like, oh, what do I need to do? And like, it's already done. Like, you, there's not much you can do at this point. We're just maintaining at this point. There's very, very little you can do to improve the physique. All you can do is really ruin the physique. So if you like do a bunch of carbs, like people do pancakes on Saturday mornings and stuff, and you make your waistline all bloated out, like that's all mm-hmm. it's going to do is hurt you more than help you. So on Saturday, just keep it light is what I say. Nothing you're really going to do unless you're on stage like 8 hours later is going to really make a big effect. And even if it was 8 hours later, it would barely make an effect. So enjoy the day, like really just enjoy the day and don't stress, because whatever you look like on Saturday is pretty much it. So I just want to say that because I get so many questions and so many people on Saturday, oh, I didn't do this, or I needed to do this. And I'm like, no, it didn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. So, so just enjoy that day. Like, really just wake up and be like, hey, today's my day of competing. There's nothing more I can do. I've done everything I can in the gym, and I'm just going to mm-hmm. enjoy today and not stress about it. Right. And that'll show up on your physique, too. You'll be holding less water because you're not stressing mm-hmm. and that. So, anyway, I just wanted to say that. That was a little long one.
You know something, though? I'm going to say this. We're going to have to probably do a part two. Because these questions you guys have given us are so good, and I feel like I don't want to, you're talking a lot, but it's okay because I like your answers.
Yeah.
So I don't want to like cut you off, so let's do like a part one, part two. So let's go to like 10
okay
today,
and then go in a little more in depth into them.
Okay. Yes, so that way we can kind of take our time and not rushed, and that way we can answer everybody's question. Okay.
So the next one is from, these are Instagram names, by the way, so that's why they sound so weird. Tawash, first of all, hi Tawash.
Hi.
My question is, how do competitor deal with cellulite? Some of the questions I think from foreign people. I am thinking of doing my first show next year and wonder how to deal with it, and you are competing. Okay, so as far as
cellulite.
As far as cellulite goes, you want
to cellulite?
you want to go for this?
Sure. So I am not an expert in this field, and I'm not going to claim that I know all this stuff about cellulite. But I will just tell you from personal experience. Do I get cellulite? I do in the off season sometimes. And when I took a year off and I got to 145, and I had quite a bit of fat, I did have cellulite, and I get it kind of like on the sides of my thighs. When I sit down and I'll see like a few dimples. So yes, I get it. We're all human. As far as treatment for it, mine kind of just goes away once I get leaner. But there are people out there that are, you know, quite lean but still have it. And I understand that there are, I think, treatments you can do at like some med spas that are specifically for cellulite. If you want to go that route, it's not plastic surgery. It's just like if you've seen like the little, almost like an ultrasound looking device that they go over the skin. I think one of it's Thermage, and there's a few out there on the market. But you can look into that if you are concerned about that when you're still lean.
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. that's a good answer. The main thing is just leaning out and building more muscle. You know, that's really what it mm-hmm. mostly comes down to. All right, so the next question is from Muscle Bound Muffin. How about discussing how much muscle pro bikini competitors truly have? Because I feel like people think anyone can just lose some weight, hop on stage, and go pro without having a solid base of muscle.
Wow. Okay. So this is a great question. Yes, common misconception is bikini competitors just diet and cardio. That is not the case. You can't just go from being an active person to, being a bikini pro within a month or two. It's not possible, really. I mean, maybe it is possible, but I haven't seen it. I know from personal experience, my route was, I did have a lot of experience with athletics. I was a track athlete and gymnastics. So I did have like a good base, I would say, to start out with. But a lot of people don't, and they have to build that muscle first before they lean out.
Yeah. That's one of the things that you get a lot of, is like the misconception of bikini.
Yeah.
And it probably upsets me more than anything, because when you'll get, usually the way it happens is like another class will say it. So like a figure competitor, a woman's physique competitor, or a men's physique guy will like bag on bikini. And I usually tell them, why don't you do a bikini workout for a month? And then you tell me at the end of that month that they don't work out hard.
Yeah.
And I'll write the workout for you. I'll give you someone's workout that some like an Ashley's workout. And the thing is, like, everyone has a hard workout in their own way. Bikini's hard. One, it's hard physically because you got to do a lot of like leg stuff. But mentally, it's really, I think, the hardest out of all the workouts, out of all the classes. Well, maybe wellness now. I think it's the hardest because the glutes are such a priority. And like doing glutes 3 times a week, like going to the gym, staying motivated to do that is so hard. Like I couldn't do legs and glutes 3 times a week. Like, for a long period of time and just stay motivated and be excited to be in the gym again. So I think it's mentally one of the harder workouts. And the other thing is, like, we're all in the same sport. So I don't know why these classes, like, want to bag on one class.
Yeah.
And it's so
exactly. Petty, and you know what? Even if we do more cardio than, let's say, bodybuilders, my cardio is no joke.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see a bodybuilder run a 10K or do the Santa Monica stairs for an hour at the intensity that I do it. Since when did, like, a cardio workout become a joke? That's what I want to know. Try to keep up with me, please.
Yeah, I actually did. I
didn't.
I tried to keep up. I couldn't keep up. Yeah, I went to the Santa Monica stairs. She blew me out of the water. And she's like, it didn't even make sense how many times she repeated those stairs. It was like one of those, like, cars on an electric track. It just didn't stop. And I was like, what's going on? I'm dying. But I think a lot of that misconception of, like, how much muscle bikini competitors have or need to have comes from the very early days in bikini. So you need to understand, like, where bikini came from.
Oh, yeah.
And bikini came from the flex model search, which was happening at, like, Olympias and things like that. There wasn't any division besides bodybuilding for forever, women's and men's, and then it was bodybuilding, and then they added figure, they had fitness too. So you really could only do, like, compete if you weren't, like, super, super jacked. You couldn't compete. You had to be, like, athletic and do fitness stuff. And then they came out with figure, and figure was kind of like what bikini looks like now, back then. So it was,
isn't that crazy to think?
Yeah, yeah. And then,
oh, man.
So then when, you got to remember, like, bikini, figure looked like, actually, the figure looked a little softer than bikini looks like now when it first came out. And so a lot of people were doing figure, and then bikini came out. Well, you couldn't have a girl as muscular as the figure girl, so they had to be softer and smaller. So the bikini girls really came from the flex model search, and they were just, like, kind of fitness models, like, and they didn't have to have a lot of muscle. There are a lot of the girls who were doing Hooters competitions and doing model searches and doing that tanning company's model search too. Like, there, so it was regular girls, and that's where, like, people still think it's like that. And I'm like, it's so far from that now.
Yeah.
It's not even.
Even the suits has changed, the posing, the hair, the makeup. Yeah.
Everything's different.
You know what's crazy is you, like, almost literally just answered the next question. How do you think the bikini division has changed over the years, and will it continue in that direction in the future? So this is from Emma. So Emma, yeah, great question. Adam kind of already answered it, but, most importantly, realize that even in the last 4 years, I would say, even since I've won the Olympia, the talent pool has gotten so much deeper. And a lot of people will kind of question me, like, what? Like, how's come, like, you don't win the Olympia now, but you won it 3 times and now you can't win? It's not because of necessarily I got worse. My body didn't get worse at all. In fact, it got better. The difference is the talent pool there is so many girls out there now that are spectacular. And I think one of the biggest differences is that they're not just from America anymore. They're all over the world. It used to be extremely difficult for somebody that was overseas to find their way into the pro league here in the IFBB. And now it's becoming more available to them, so that now there's girls all over the world competing, which makes it a lot tougher. There are so many amazing girls on stage now. And she also asks, will it continue in that direction in the future? Well, of course, everyone's going to get better, but at the same time, I know they will put a limit on muscle. I don't think they're necessarily getting any more muscular at that at this point. I think there's like definitely been a cutoff since the flex model search days, like you mentioned, the really early bikini days. They have gotten a little bit more muscular, but I would say in the last couple years, they have not gotten more muscular. It's just better, yeah. Like a better symmetry, smaller waistline, you know, all that. So I think that answers that question pretty good.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, the next question is a quick question. How much time do you spend in the gym for your leg days? Adam, when Adam pushes me on leg day, it tends to be a lot more intense. We can go for maybe, I want to say, an hour. If I'm by myself, maybe like a half an hour to 45 minutes. Actually, you know what? Maybe more like 45 minutes, to be honest.
So as a far, like to go into that question just a little farther, if you guys are spending like crazy amount of time in the gym, like I'll have the people that'll tell me, oh, I spend like an hour and a half in the gym, 2 hours in the gym, and they're like proud of it. There's like a lot of things that happen inside the gym, like internally, like hormonally, that you really shouldn't like be going for that long. Cause there's a certain point where your cortisol levels start elevating so high, it surpasses the point of how much growth hormone you're releasing for a workout. So when you first work out, unless you just had, like, this is really technical, but when you first work out, unless you just had like a GH pulse, which is like, you know, at night and like first thing in the morning, you're going to have another GH pulse. So basically your body's going to release growth hormone. So when you do that, you get like this big pulse and it's got this big rise and it starts slowly going down throughout the workout. And at about the like 50 minute to 1 hour mark, it really depends on how hard you're working out, your cortisol levels are going to start rising past the point of where your GH is kind of falling. And so it becomes kind of like a negative thing when you're working out for too long, too intensely. So make your workouts count, make them short enough, but high intensity. Like if you work out with someone who's like really pushing you or you're really pushing yourself, like 45 minutes should be a very sufficient workout. That's if you're not on your phone, you're not talking to people in between sets, and you're actually putting the work in and doing, you know, the hard stuff, the drop sets, the intensifiers. Mm-hmm. So just take that into account. Don't be like 2 hour proud. Oh, I'm at the gym for 2 hours. Well, then you're an idiot because you're not working out hard enough.
So like, question, that's, just to clarify to people out there, because I think I know what you mean, but maybe they don't. That does not include cardio, correct?
No, no cardio.
Yes. So yeah, that we're talking about just lifting the weights, yeah, not cardio plus yeah, weights, because in that case it would be it kind of a common thing.
I get that all the time, like with like guys. It's always guys. It's never never girls. Girls are never like, oh, I'm in the gym for 3 hours. That's cool. But I'll get guys that come in, mm-hmm, and I'm like, dude, how about you last with me for 45 minutes and let's see how hard, because I guarantee you don't work out hard enough if you're working out for 3 hours.
Yeah, and that must be some crazy rest periods right?
I mean, how many
like, 5 minute rest periods?
Yeah, if you think about a really high volume exercise, like workout routine. So a really high volume workout routine would be like 30 sets. That's high volume. Like me and Ashley will do like, mm-hmm, on a high day, we'll do like 24 sets of volume. So if you take 24 sets and each set takes, let's say each set takes a minute, just for simplicity's sake, because really it takes about 45 seconds. And then you rest for a minute. Well, 24 plus 24 is 48 minutes. That's it. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard workout. Yeah. So like, just take that into account. Like really look at yourself. If you're working out too long, maybe you got to increase that intensity.
Gotcha. That's a good one. Can you give me a little example of what your diet is like when you're bulking and when you're shredding? And this is from Maria, 856 Maria. Okay, sure. So first off, bulking. I don't purposely bulk. I don't like that word for bikini. I think it's very counterproductive. I think you would agree too, Adam,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
You don't really need to put on like that much weight. You don't need to purposely try to do that. So an example of my diet when I'm off season, we'll change bulking to off season and when I'm contest prepping. So when I'm off season, I will kind of be more lenient with my diet, maybe go out to dinner a few more times and add in more carbohydrates. I would say probably around 500 calories a day more than cutting, correct? Would you say somewhere around there, depending on how lean I am or?
Yeah, with Ashley, we try to keep it pretty lean. You got to remember, yeah, like it's a little different for her because she doesn't have to put on a ton of muscle in the mm-hmm. off season. So it's really about like maintaining.
Yes, maintaining does the best for me.
So her calories are like kind of closer to maintenance calories versus someone who would be like lean gaining, which would be probably like 800 more, maybe 1,000 more. Yeah. Depending.
So. And this is also taking consideration, I probably compete more frequently than the other competitors.
She loves to compete.
Yeah, I like to compete. So I don't go into a super long off season or anything like that. So I try to keep closer to stage weight than most people out there. I think that's the thing now too, is like for pros, we're realizing that, you know, it's not such a good idea to go completely off track and put on a whole bunch of weight. I think that was more common, I would say, probably around, 2013-2014 era when I was doing the Olympias and winning them. I feel like it was more common to put on a lot of weight and then cut like crazy.
The science just wasn't there yet, you know?
It's definitely a better idea to stay closer than farther away these days, I would say.
Yeah, just take into account, like, when you're thinking about bulking or cutting, like, there's never been a single ounce of fat that's helped you put on a single ounce of muscle. So when people are like, oh, I'm gaining, and I'm gaining, like, 1 pound a week, like, even females would be like, oh, I'm gaining 1 pound a week. And I'm like, dude, the amount of muscle you can put on in a year, like, think about that realistically. If you're gaining 1 pound a week, that means that you'd gain 52 pounds a year. So obviously you're not going to gain 52 pounds of muscle in a year at that rate. There's just no way. So the actual amount of weight you're going to gain in, like, skeletal muscle over the course of, like, let's say a gaining period of like 16 to 20 weeks is not, like, it's not going to be 16 to 20 pounds. It's going to be like a couple pounds, like, at most. So it's just, be smart about it. You don't need to gain a bunch of body fat, because here's what happens when you have new muscle. This is like a theory, of course. This is not like proven. This is just theories. But a lot of times these theories are like impossible to prove. But when you have new muscle and you, like, so let's say you gained recently, you gained 10 pounds, or let's say you gained 15 pounds in a bulk and six of those pounds are muscle. Well, now you still got to lose the remaining, 10 pounds. So you had to lose 10 pounds during your, like, after your gaining, after your show, and then you have to lose another 10 pounds because you went through a gaining. So it's like, gets closer to like 20 pounds. So when you have to lose that much weight to get ready for a show, well, you're going to start tapping into your lean mass at a higher rate. So especially when you have new muscle, you know, you have muscles that your body's not used to holding, your body's not used to carrying along, so it's not like its natural state. There's the theory is that you can lose that muscle a little bit faster because it's so new and it's not like been around. Your body hasn't basically been using it and having it on your body for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. Who knows if that's true or not? I don't know the science behind that because it's not really proven or anything yet. So, but what I do know is that people, when they bulk and then they lean out, a lot of times that stage weight is exactly the same. So what you need to be concerned with is your stage weight from show to show, not your scale weight in between shows. And a lot of times people worry about the scale weight in between shows, and they just want to see the scale go up. And they're like, oh, I'm gaining, I'm getting more muscle. And they start losing all their shape, and then they start flexing for pictures, and they don't see it because they don't know how to look for it. Yes. And I'm like, no, you're just getting softer. Like, you're gaining very little muscle. So
some of that can be fluid as well, right? Because carbohydrates hang on to water, correct?
Yep.
And so that's probably it as well.
And a lot of having more food, like, in your system all the time, like, makes you feel thicker too. Like, your waistline gets a little thicker and not too. So that's a reason for a lot of the bodybuilders, and they say, oh, they have roid guts, but really it's a food gut. They just eat so much now that
that's actually a myth that they think it's like their organs growing.
Yeah, look
right?
at like, cause you can look at these guys like that had these pretty big roid guts, if you want to call them a roid gut. Like, you can look at Dorian Yates, you can look at Ronnie Coleman now, you can look at these guys that people were kind of notoriously beating up for their guts, and now look at them now, and their guts are like normal. And it's because they would eat 8,000 calories a day to stay that big.
Oh, man.
And so, yeah, the same thing happens with bikini, too, is like, if you're eating a lot, yeah, you're going to have a bigger gut. Like, that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a steroid thing. People think it is. It's funny because it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, you see them like after they retire and their stomach goes right back down, you know?
Oh, okay, well, that's very interesting. Because I guess I was one of those people that believed that, oh, okay, maybe their organs just grew big. Because everything else grew big. I don't know.
You know, I mean,
I don't have much knowledge on that, obviously.
There could be some, like, you know, little growth, but from what you see of it, like, when you see them when they retire and stuff, like, it seems to be very, very little.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. Okay, the next question. This is a great question. and it kind of, I kind of had experience with this, I guess. How does strict dieting affect your metabolism? And or what do you do to minimize the effects? So, you know, kind of the opposite of what we were just talking about. What about somebody that just stays super, super lean all the time, super strict dieting? From the knowledge I have, you know, that can really mess up your thyroid. And that can also cause you to have some food intolerances because you're just strictly dieting and having only these foods all the time. Is there truth to that?
So as far as like the, so total hormone output, whenever you're like extremely caloric restricted, seems mm-hmm. there's definitely a correlation between those two. I don't know if it's necessarily like thyroid or it's just total hormones. Now, what I will say is, you know, hormones you can usually get figured out. You just got to go to a doctor and get them figured out and start working.
Which is super important. You guys need to do it. even just at the beginning of prep, just to make sure you're on track. I just highly recommend doing that. I got mine done at the Contest Prep Center. And you can kind of see what's going on inside of your body. Because although maybe the effects aren't showing on the outside, you never know what's going on the inside.
Yeah, it's definitely important to know like what's going on the inside just to eliminate things. And like mm-hmm. in Ashley's scenario was, you know, we were doing everything right for like 2.5 months, 3 months and nothing was happening.
Yeah.
And then we got her tested and we're like, okay, let's get you tested. And we found out there was a few things wrong.
This was 2018, so, by yeah, the way, the beginning of 2018.
Yeah, that was a while back.
Or was it 2017?
It was November of October of 2017.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah. End of 2017 when I was trying to prep for the Arnold.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, found out I couldn't even do the Arnold in 2018 because I wasn't losing this weight.
Yeah,
and it was because a lot of different things that was going on inside of my body that weren't necessarily showing on the outside. I had low thyroid and also I was anemic, which really shocked me. Yeah. The anemic part really shocked me because I was like, I'm not restricting my diet. Obviously, I've been off for a year. I've been eating red meat. I've been eating iron-rich foods, I thought. But I guess I wasn't, you know, very high in iron at all. So
as far as like the effects of metabolism, though, and the like adaptation process, definitely the longer someone diets, the more caloric restricted they are, like the longer they diet. So there's this thing we call, I guess it's kind of like, I just had to come, there's certain things that just exist and I have to kind of come up with names for them because like there's no other way to explain it simply. So this is like kind of my names for it. So if you never heard it, it's because that's why. But so there's a thing called a workout age. Okay, so workout age is essentially like how many years accumulated that you've worked out. And the longer, like the older workout age you are, the less amount of muscle you're going to have, like you're going to build. So because the stimulus isn't as great because your body's more and more used to it. So your first year of lifting, you're going to put on a really good amount of muscle. For like a female, you could put on like 8 to 10 pounds of muscle like your first year, then like 4 to 5 the next year. And after that, it's like 3 to 4. It's like it just drops quite a bit. You know, if you're a good gainer, you might be able to gain a little more than that. But that's like a rule of thumb. So the same thing happens with dieting, though, too. So you have a diet age, too. So the more you diet, the more often, the more years that you've spent on a diet, let's say you're someone that's always dieted, the lower your total like metabolic rate ends up being. And that's just coming from me testing metabolisms. I have a metabolic testing device in my studio, and the people who've like who've been dieting for years and years and years, they're always eating less calories, like as a maintenance calories, they're always burning less calories as a when they get tested on their metabolism too. So I do think it's very, very important that you go through the periods of correction. And I think that, you know, prep is not like we all like miss like say the word prep, and like I don't think that we should be saying like how we say in prep and off season. Like, you don't like saying off season.
I don't like saying bulking.
Bulking, okay, bulking. Yeah. So like I'm the same way. I think that it's just constant, and you shouldn't ever not be trying to do something. You should always be working with, like, if you have a coach, like working with that coach all year, trying to do something. Because in prep, all you can do is lean out. There's really not much you can do. It's just lean out and get stage lean.
But so the off season is where all the magic happens. it's probably more important. Yeah,
I would say so, because you fix your metabolism, you fix your lagging body parts, you get your body up to symmetry. What was lacking from the last show, you can now, you know. With your coach, like, now you know, what do I look like without the body fat, with the curtains pulled back? What do I actually need to work on now? And so there's just so much more you can go into in the off season. And then you can make someone healthier too. You get their metabolism up to full speed.
Yeah.
And then you set them up for a proper prep. You know, you make sure they're only up, you know, 10 or so pounds. You get their metabolism really firing up. You get their muscle built better than last time and more symmetry. So you have a lot more room that way than just saying, hey, it's 12 weeks out, I'm going to start prepping. Like, that's it should be an all year thing. But I guess I'm going off on a tangent.
No, it's that I love your explanation here. That is super helpful. And yeah, I mean, even if you guys have done a few shows yourselves, you'll know that your first diet was always the easiest. It was like, oh, this is a breeze.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, it doesn't always stay like that. You might have a very easy diet now because it's your first one, but if you do it too often, too much, or over diet, or stay super lean all the time, the strict dieting, like they just said, you know, your metabolism will slow down, and you know you'll have to lower the calories more and more each time for your prep.
Yeah, totally. So.
Okay, last question, because there's so much here. I think we should cut it just right down the middle. Okay. So this is a good last question. So Fit 48 asks, love the podcast, YouTube, everything. Yeah, girl. Would love to learn more about your mindset. Let's be honest, the body goes where the mind goes. Can Ashley talk about how she works with her mind to get amazing results? And of course, having amazing coach helps. Oh yeah, it definitely helps to have Adam, because he is the most motivating person I know. And that's why I'm always out here in Denver. Because it's super motivating for me. I'm very focused here. You always provide me with the best workouts, and it's like I'm just so happy to be here all the time. So that's why I'm always here, especially when I'm closer to a show. So mindset is definitely super important. And actually, I think we did a podcast already on mindset, but it hasn't been released yet. But it is very important. It's like the best pre-workout you could have, I guess you could say. Because if you ever notice, when you're super motivated and in that mindset, it's almost like those hard workouts aren't really that hard because you want to do it. It's like, yeah, I want to wake up for cardio in the morning. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, it's such a game changer, I guess you could say. So to help me get into that mindset, I know where to be, and that's Colorado. Surround yourself with super motivating and positive people. Even going on to YouTube and finding some motivation there helps. Listening to motivational music before workouts, and just kind of like, you guys know I'm a very realistic person, but just like vision yourself where you would want to be. I'm not saying like bank on it, but vision what could be if you tried hard. And yeah, Adam, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think that, there's two different types of people in the prep world. And I think a lot of it comes down to like experience too. Because I was just telling you last night that there's like, I'll work with, you know, some of the people who like you'd expect to be like the best, most strict in the world and so like diligent on their plan. And then sometimes they're just not, you know, and it's like, well, they've done it for so long, now they're not motivated again. And you're one of the few people that I've seen put in this many years and still be just as motivated as your first time. But so there's two different types of people. There's the type of people who like have that first prep attitude, and Ashley's like a first prep attitude type of person. Most of the time, where they're like, hey, it's my first prep and you're so excited and everything's just so fun and you can go to the gym for hours and hours and you don't care and it's all that matters in life. And that's great, you know, as long as it doesn't become problematic in your real world, I think that's great. And then you have the people who like are going through prep and they're like hating prep and they're like just talking about how much prep sucks. And when they do that, they start like convincing themselves that prep sucks. And they're like, oh, another meal of chicken, another. And I'm like, well, then why are you doing this, man? That's you're doing it to yourself. You're not in jail. They're not feeding you chicken through bars. You know, this is your own self-induced like prison that you're putting yourself in. And if you don't enjoy it, don't do it. You know, it's supposed to be fun. So what I say is make sure that your mindset's right and never get around people and never get to the point where you're talking about where prep sucks.
Yeah. Because
if you keep saying prep sucks, and you're like almost basking in the glory of how hard this is and like how miserable it is and like talking about it on your Instagram or whatever, well then it's going to start translating into your workouts. It's going to start translating into your motivation to actually do the prep. And then it's going to translate into how your body looked the day on stage. So you got to like wake up every day with the mindset of, hey, like I'm going to enjoy the suck. Yeah, it sucks. It's prep. Like it's going to suck. It's not going out on the weekends and you know, having fun with my friends, like going out drinking and stuff, you know, but it's prep and I'm doing it for like to make myself better, which is going to carry over in the rest of my life because I'm so diligent and so focused on this. It's going to help me with the rest of my life. So think of it as like training for life in terms of like motivation for the rest of the stuff that you're going to carry through your world. Because I tell you, the people who are the best at this sport in bodybuilding and bikini and whatever are the best in life too. They don't slack. They don't slack at all.
That's so true.
Because they carry that same motivation to everything else, you know? And it's like a life lesson, you know? You get like, if you get like a military guy to go to like work a job, like that military guy does so good at that job because they're just trained to be mm-hmm. like militant and listen and, yeah. and execute, right? And it's like you get some similar traits because I've hired a lot of people like working for like big gyms and stuff. Mm-hmm. Whenever I had like a military guy, I was like, oh, awesome. This guy will work so hard. Yeah. I love military guys. And then when you had someone who did a contest, it was like the same thing because you're like, oh, this guy will do everything 100%, you know? So mm-hmm. anyway, I love prep and what it does to people internally in terms of like making them stronger mentally. But make sure that every prep that you do, you don't embrace, like you embrace the suck and you just make it fun. You say, I'm doing this to make myself better, but you never ever get to that point with like the other people prepping where they're talking about how much it sucks. Because as soon as that happens, you start fading out and, and then you don't give it the same intensity. Your workouts suck and you just kind of regret it and it just goes out the window. So
yeah. I think it's important to realize we all have those bad days. Even me as a top pro, I have bad days too, where I'm just not motivated. I'm just like, you know what? I'd rather not do this right now, or I just want to just chill out and eat whatever. But you know, when you start thinking this negative mindset, ask yourself, why are you thinking this way? Is it because you're cranky? Because you're not sleeping enough? Is somebody in your life kind of making you miserable or irritated? And if it's something you can control, think of it as like a light switch. You're thinking negatively like right now, like, oh, I hate this. Oh my God, I can't believe I have to do this right now. Switch that light switch from off to on. Now you're positive. Like, okay, you know what? Get that out of my head. Hey, this is such a privilege to be able to prep. Yeah. Okay. So many people can't prep for whatever reason. Maybe they're in a different country and don't even know about this. Maybe they can't afford this. Maybe they're not healthy enough to do this or whatever reason. So grateful.
In the Middle East, there's actually, they still don't have a bikini division.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And we can do that out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, think about it, guys. It's like, to be able to even prep in the first place, you are privileged because that's the last thing on some people's mind is do a show. I would love to, but oh my God, I can't, like, for whatever reason. You know, so just think of it like that and enjoy the journey, enjoy the process. Hang around people that think like you, and they don't necessarily have to compete, but maybe they're positive and uplifting and motivating. So those are the people you want to be with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can't even imagine like talking to people in other countries when you're like, oh yeah, no, I'm trying to eat less to have to have like more abs. Like, wait a minute, you're trying to eat less?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm just trying to eat. At all.
Yeah, like, to find anything to eat. Think about it, guys. Yeah. It's crazy when you really think about it. It's like, it blows my mind how people will complain. Like you said before, no one's forcing you to do this.
Yeah.
This is on your own free will. And just make the most out of it and have fun. Regardless of what the final outcome is, enjoy every aspect of the journey.
Absolutely. So I guess with that,
to leave that off, guys, because your questions were so good that we had to just kind of dive into them a little deeper. So with that being said, stay tuned for next week's episode. We'll do a part two
to finish this
Q&A. We appreciate all the questions and feedback we get.
And this is really a fun one. So if you guys like want to send even, we'll probably just do these two and then do another two like later on.
Yeah,
but
we'll do them every once in a while.
I like it. It's fun. If you guys want to send us any more, DM Ashley at Ashley K Fit. You could DM me at Team Elite Physique on Instagram. Make sure to watch her on YouTube, and then if you liked this, please share it with your friends. We're trying to get the word out more that, you know, prep doesn't need to suck. It doesn't need to go through all these extremes, and it could be for everyone, and fitness is for everyone. So we'd really appreciate it. And with that, we will leave you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. See you next week.
Bye.